Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, November 11th. I'm Ray Graff. You know, for some of our listeners, this week may have left a bad taste in your mouth. Well, typically we talk about food and drink, good stuff, the stuff that people love. But today we're throwing that out the kitchen window. It's foods that have garnered disdain and distaste today on Food Friday, and I want to thank my producer for that. Brussels sprouts, liver, anchovies, and more. Here to help us with all that is cooking instructor and writer Byron Nielsen. So whether you hate or love Brussels sprouts or liver, and how could you not love it, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Tell us your least favorite food. Tell us how you make it tolerable, or maybe you don't. If you found the whole week tough to swallow, you'll really find this show tough to swallow. It begins after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Food Friday, and today we buck the trend. No barbecue, no pizza, no beer. What am I doing here? Instead, it's olives, liver, Brussels sprouts, anchovies, the foods we hate and how we learn to hate them. Well, to guide us through this impressive journey is none other than Byron Nielsen. He's an instructor at the Different Drummers Kitchen Cooking School in Albany. He's also a chef, an actor, a singer, a writer, a beekeeper, a Rush Limbaugh impersonator. So plug your nose. Give us a call now. Let us know what food you dislike most. 800-348-2551. I see Byron has brought some stuff, and I can hardly wait. The number is 800-348-2551. You can also comment by emailing us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Byron Nielsen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
What's happening, man? It's been a while since you've been on.
It has. A tumultuous while, but, I'm medicating through food.
Well, that's a good way. Comfort food.
And I figured, so instead of hating people, let's hate some food today.
I like it. And who's that? Was this your idea?
This was my idea.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for that.
My daughter helped.
Really? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I won't blame Jim Lavoulis then for that. I thought it was my producer's idea. And you brought a book. I have a feeling this has nothing to do with food we hate.
Correct. It just happened to arrive today. It's a reprint of a 1969 book by Vincent Price and his wife, Mary. They wrote some books together. It's called The Come Into the Kitchen Cookbook.
Ah.
And Dover Press has just reprinted
it. Can you say it like Vincent Price, though?
I'll try to do that. I'm not sure I can.
On second thought, it's okay.
And what's fascinating about this one, it's a history of American food going back over the centuries. So he's got collected these recipes from colonial times and on through expansion into the West, recipes of the Young Republic. I noted that under the recipes of the Western Empire section, it starts with burgoo. It's a beef stew.
Oh, really? That sounds all right. You're off to a good start.
Very
with that.
Simple beef stew with cabbage and tomatoes and wine.
That sounds good.
And we move into what he thought of the Victorian era. I found fish balls a la Mrs. Benjamin Harrison.
Ah, Mrs. Harrison, first lady.
The first lady. Sure. Got involved, so we. Of course, wonder if Melania is going to be handling any balls.
All right, this is a family program.
Fish balls.
Right.
Fish balls.
Well, First Lady Harrison's fish balls were legendary.
Exactly.
Right.
Then, and here's something from modern America being, the 60s and
right.
before, that struck me. A corned beef cheeseburger.
Wow, that doesn't sound bad.
A corn with chili sauce and chopped dill pickle.
That sounds great.
So,
did you bring that?
I didn't, but I'm going to. That's next on my menu for myself.
All right, fine. Well, thank you
for that. So anyway, that just the thoughts, I love looking at old cookbooks, and this one's.
Yeah, and you brought up an idea. Maybe we'll do an old cookbook show one of these months on Food Friday. But today, it's all about food we hate. I pulled a list. It's funny. If you search the most hated foods, it depends on the country. For instance, in England, peanut butter is on the list.
Really?
It's like my favorite food in the world. I don't know how you get by without it. The American list I got from Yahoo a couple of years back, liver, number one,
of course.
A blue cheese.
Really?
Eggplant? How can you not like eggplant?
No, I don't understand. I mean, I can understand a zucchini, but that's a season-long aversion that grows.
Right. Okra. All right, I can see that. Sardines, yes. I can see that in the top 10. Brussels sprouts, certainly. Lima beans. Also in the top 20, mayonnaise.
Wow.
Isn't that odd? And gelatin.
That's gelatin?
Gelatin.
I mean, that's I can understand when it suddenly it takes on a brand name and becomes too sweet, but...
Okay. Well, I'll get you there. What did you... I hate to ask, but what did you bring today?
Liver.
Really?
Brussels sprouts.
Really?
Anchovies.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Olives.
Well, olives I like.
But yeah, but they've got anchovies in them.
Okay.
So this in fact, each of these items, I brought three things. Each one has a popularly hated food that's then moderated by something to make it more palatable.
Oh, what is that that you just opened? That looks bilious. What is
that's
this?
A tapenade.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably all right.
That's got anchovies, lots.
Okay.
And capers.
All right. So the goal of this show is to make the host hurl, because I think we're heading that down that direction.
Wow.
Yeah.
On radio, yeah.
Well, it's good radio.
Yes.
It'll be my last show, but it'll be great radio.
So what do you want to taste first?
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number if you want to join in this fun fest. 800-348-2551. All right, Byron Nielsen, I don't want to taste any of them first, so why don't you just dull one out?
All right. I toasted some baguette slices so that everything would be extra crunchy so we could experience a great oral fulfillment.
Now, your daughter helped you come up with this idea.
She did.
Okay. Does she have an aversion to this program and me in particular?
She loves you.
Really?
Yeah. She sees this as an errand of mercy to bring you
into the
liver camp.
Oh, that's very kind. All right, this is liver.
This is liver.
Right,
actually an Italian chopped liver preparation.
I must confess that back in the day, I would occasionally go to Gershon's and have chopped liver.
Okay.
And like it.
Okay.
So this is quite a lot of liver. You could probably put a little less on this for me.
Ooh, that was satisfying sounding.
It's outstanding.
Thank you.
What's in it?
Butter.
All right.
And marsala.
Really?
Yeah.
This is very good. This is great, as a matter of fact.
It's, as I said, it's an Italian style. The livers are simmered with onions and garlic and capers. Then you add some marsala. Then at the end, add butter and send it into a food processor. That's it.
Outstanding. All right, score one for Nielsen. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Good. Nice to have you here.
All right. Yeah, liver's the subject.
Good.
When we were children, our parents attempted to serve us liver for supper one time, and my older brother, just about any time anyone was trying to eat it, he would, you know, gag like he was about to H-U-R-L.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got everyone's reactions going, you know. When people make these noises, you kind of, you know, just like yawning, you can't help yourself. So my father finally got angry enough. He said, that's enough. That's it. Took it off the table from our plates, and he told my mother, cook him some hamburgers. From now on, we'll just cook enough liver just for me and you. We'll never serve it to them again.
Well, there you go. And it's certainly
so fallen. Fast forward a few years. I'm in the Army for my active duty, 6 months for the National Guard. I'm down in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, processing in for a week and a half, whatever, getting shots, taking tests, getting clothing issues, whatever. And you didn't go anywhere out of the barracks unless the private first class was marching you to or from.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even approach a vetting machine. In other words, they controlled every crumb of food you were going to eat all along through. Cold, rainy March evening, we go into the chow hall. I happened to be at the head of our barracks group when we went up to the chow line and approaching it, and they said, what we got for supper tonight? What we got? What we got? I said, I don't know what it is right now. I'm not that close, but from here it looks like they might have killed some really stringy, tough old goats and boiled the hell out of them or cooked them, overcooked them a lot, because it looks pretty stringy and all gnarly and bunched up and twisted and everything else, you know? So I got up close enough to smell, and it was liver.
Oh, boy.
You got a hunk of liver, you got a hunk of boiled potato, you got a slice of bread with a pat of butter, and you got one of those little cartons of milk. That was supper that night.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I managed to take down every bit of that liver and, you know, with a piece of potato or bread with it, and from then on out, I was okay with liver. In fact, we enjoyed it over the years since.
Well, that's a great story. Did you get cream chip beef at all?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know, the SOS.
Yeah, well, you know, I like cream chip beef. I think that's good stuff.
Yeah, well, we had a cook back at the National Guard Armory in Adams that he would soak it and drain the water off a few times and get a lot of the salt out of it. It was a lot better.
Fair enough. Well, Jim, thanks a lot for getting us started today.
All righty.
All right,
enjoy.
Man. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551.
I think liver gets a bad rap because it gets cooked so badly. I mean, if we're talking about calf's liver.
Yeah.
My mother used to serve that, and I have to confess, I did not grow up with food aversions.
No?
No.
So everything was fine?
Everything. Yeah. I never warmed to lobster for some reason.
You know, it's funny. I think part of the lobster issue for me, and we go up to Maine every summer, and lobster is very popular, but I'll take the lazy man lobster. I don't like taking it out of the shell and finding the spots that are okay and the spots that aren't green. And
right.
You know.
Yeah, I like cooking with it, but just as it's on its own, I'm fine with it, but I don't seek it out. But with liver, I discovered when I finally went into the kitchen, you take a good slice of calf's liver, cook it on high heat quickly so that it's still very pink on the inside. That's what it's at its best.
Very interesting. Now, quick question. What would your daughter like least?
Well, that's an interesting story, and I don't want to dwell too much on it because it just sounds like I'm bragging.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but as she was growing up, well, we never fed her baby food. I think that helped.
Ah.
We carried a grinder, and so whatever we ate, she ate.
Oh, fair enough.
And then as her tastes were developing, I just asked for a policy of taste it now. If you don't like it, don't eat it, but we may revisit in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And she had the usual aversions. She didn't like olives, mushrooms, and blue cheese, but she came back to them all.
Really?
I knew we had a success story on our hands when her first taste of anchovies was, wow, that's great.
Okay, well, I tell you what, man, I'm not a big anchovy fan, and so I guess that will have to be after the break.
Okay.
So, before we go to the break, could you take us to the break as Rush Limbaugh?
Well, you know, folks, you got to understand something, that this whole situation, you know, this is something that I've been looking forward to.
All right, well, you know what? Byron Nielsen is our guest. The fun, frivolity, and strange food continues here on Vox Pop Food Friday. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarskys.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, butter crunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com. Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York. Featuring baked goods, along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches, using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients. RoundhouseBakery.blogspot.in. And Capital Roots, working to help people in the Capital Region access healthy, affordable, and local food, grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org for information on how to support.
It's Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Byron Nielsen, who is a food writer and an instructor. And when's your next class?
Different Drummers, the end of the month. Monday, November 28th, we're going to be making ravioli.
Oh, cool.
From scratch with some pumpkin.
Pumpkin ravioli?
Yeah.
You could have brought that. I'm not too keen on that.
You should have told me.
Yeah.
And cheese stuffed. Well, and we're going to have baked Nutella wonton crisps
for dessert. Now that sounds really good. Next time you're on.
And then in December, Christmas desserts. We're making a bûche de Noël, a croquembouche, and baked Alaska.
Croquembouche.
Yeah.
That's not the gardening show, so I don't want to talk about that. So, also, you're writing now for a new publication.
That's right. I've just turned in some pieces for The Alt.
And when is that hitting the streets?
Tuesday.
Coming up?
Yep.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, I'd heard Sean Stone is the arts editor.
That's
he was
right.
on earlier this week. So in paper form or just online?
Paper and online.
Oh, terrific.
TheAlt.com.
TheAlt.com. Well, congratulations on that. So you have a review?
I have a profile of a place in Troy, and I wrote a piece about food alternatives.
What do you mean? You have to eat food?
You do, but what if you don't have something or, you know, don't...
Oh, I see.
You know, what can you put in its place?
For instance,
oh, good, you're going to ask that. You know, I can't. I'm thinking, okay, how did that piece go? You know, it's John.
No. The Ritz mock apple pie.
Oh yes.
Have you tried that?
Never tried that.
Phenomenal. That's
really
one
works.
Pie that I've actually made in my life.
It really works.
It tastes like apples.
I'm going to have to try that.
You got to do it. All right. This email came in, and then back to the phones. This is from Bonnie, who writes, hate them. Lima beans in all forms. It's visceral. And then a frowny face.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not a big lima bean fan either. Chalky, right?
It's the root of succotash.
I'm not a big succotash fan.
I would gather.
All right. Let's go to Marnin in Watertown, Mass. You're on.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I consider myself an adventurous eater,
yeah.
And I found myself realizing that most of the foods on that list you were reading off of commonly disliked foods,
yeah.
I actually like. With the exception of something like gelatin, I just don't care for that texture.
Okay.
But I realized that a lot of those foods, at least for me, are on the easy to screw up list. Like mayonnaise, I love a good homemade mayo. I can't stand the stuff out of a jar.
Oh. I didn't know you could make it by yourself. I thought it had to be out of the jar. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Exactly. So I detest bad versions of almost any of the foods on that list.
What do you think about anchovies? What do you think about anchovies?
I love them.
Really?
They're the pizzeria in the Boston area, Pizzeria Regina. That makes a pie that's just covered with anchovies, like no mozzarella or anything, just anchovies and capers and a little bit of Romano cheese and red sauce.
Yikes. All right, well,
fantastic.
If that works for you, man. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I feel too easygoing because I make my own mayo, but I've also got a jar of Hellman's in the fridge.
It seems to work for me.
Yeah.
Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Food You Hate Today on Food Friday. Byron Nielsen is our guest. And before I try the first anchovy I've had in about 40 years, let's go to Laura in Sunderland. Laura, you're on.
Hey, Ray.
Hi.
I just have to say that I grew up with a German mother who... It was amazing what she would eat, from pig's feet, and eel. But I dislike lima beans, and I would love to know how to fix them so I could eat them. But Brussels sprouts are a wonderful food, and they're local.
Oh, boy.
And I think concentrating on local foods is always good, so...
Well, you know, Laura, I'm going to be forced to eat some Brussels sprouts later on in the program, so you'll want to tune in for that. Not a huge fan.
Oh, I'd love that. And I go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just asking about lima beans again.
Oh, yeah. So, Byron Nielsen, a good easy way to make lima beans not taste horrendous.
Well, you could use the same technique I've used to try to make the Brussels sprouts palatable for you.
And what is that?
I added bacon and honey.
Oh, gosh. Well, that would work. Yeah.
I mean, that's almost...
I think bacon probably makes most people eat anything.
Exactly.
So bacon and honey. So lima beans, though, it's the texture that gets me.
Okay.
So
yeah, me too.
How do you mitigate that?
I don't know that you can change the texture too easily. Of course, you could always try a puree or something like that, but then why bother having lima beans at all?
Pureed lima beans. I don't know. What do you think, Laura?
I think that sounds awful.
I'm with you. Well, Thank you for the call.
I wonder if there's some genetic, you know...
Like the cilantro thing?
Yeah, like cilantro, and my whole family can't eat cucumbers.
Huh. Now, for what reason? They don't like the taste, or does it just give them gas?
The taste, the gas, both.
Hmm. Interesting. That's not one I've heard.
That's a terrible pickle.
Olives, too. It's like... Some of my kids got the gene and some of them didn't. It's so strange.
That is, I wonder if there is a genetic component. We know about cilantro.
Right.
To me, it tastes like soap.
Right.
I can't live without it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Well, that's a good line of inquiry, Laura. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Ray.
Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. All right, we'll get to the phones in a moment. All right, man, let's do the anchovies. Let's get it over with now.
Well, this is an attempt to make them a little more palatable for you,
okay.
But this is a very strong flavored dish. It's tapenade.
All right, just don't put a lot on there.
How's that?
Okay, well,
More than a molecule.
It's being evasive.
Oh, gosh.
So
That's a lot.
Tapenade is a Mediterranean dish. It's a mixture of olives, capers, and anchovies.
Right, you keep talking while I start chewing.
And but here it goes. There, like so many such things, there are a million variations on it. And I have varied this somewhat by adding fresh green peppers and tomatoes and a little touch of my own tomato sauce.
Okay. All right. I am on board with this.
Okay.
I like this. This tastes good.
My wife said, make sure you bring whatever's left over home.
It doesn't taste too fishy.
Right.
It's really good. You got cilantro in this?
There's no cilantro, no.
Hmm.
Next time. It
must be the peppers.
Yeah.
It's
peppers help.
I got to say, man, it's good.
And I had a big crop of San Marzano tomatoes this summer, so that some of the late season ones are in there, along with my own San Marzano sauce.
Okay, now, we talked about anchovy pizza. I could see putting this on a white pizza.
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever this tapenade,
yep,
would be. Can you warm it up and would it be okay?
Oh yeah. Yep.
All right. That's two for you, zero for me. So far, so good. 800-348-2551. Jim in North Pownell. Jim, you're on.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I disagree with all of these hateful foods that you've been talking about. I eat all of them. As a matter of fact, last night I had liver and bacon and onions for supper.
Good. Excellent.
That's great. So far, so good.
Of course, you mentioned bacon and onions, which are, you know, two of the magic accompaniments.
Yeah. My mother used to do her liver in Italian breadcrumbs, and I did not like it. But I dredge it in flour and then cook it in the bacon fat and do up a bunch of onions along with it, and it's great. And I love Brussels sprouts, and I'm not crazy about anchovies, but they're okay.
Well, the way Byron presents these anchovies, it's really tasty.
Yeah, that sounded really, really good. That sounded really, really good.
Well, that's great. Maybe you can do an article in The Alt about anchovies sometime.
Anchovies.
Yeah, would you do that? Hey, Jim, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Our guest today is Byron Nielsen, 800-348-2551, on this Food Friday about foods we hate. So far, actually, I like both of the things. So you're doing very, very well. Let's go over to Carrie in Plainfield. Carrie, you're on.
Hi, Ray. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Great. What I'm calling for is I don't hunt anymore, but I used to years ago. And with the deer I got then, I never really cared for it in the beginning. I didn't care for that strong, gamey taste.
Venison.
But venison, right?
Yeah.
But what I do now is, like, if my brother gets one and he gives me the meat, I marinate it in Italian salad dressing, and it reduces that gamey meat. It tastes much better.
Interesting.
Tastes real good. And I was wondering what that does to the meat to give it that change in taste.
The vinegar? Does it break things down?
A little bit. It alters the flavor. It doesn't really alter doesn't tenderize it as such.
Oh, really interesting.
But the cooking process will tenderize it. Well, I haven't worked with venison a lot, but I have worked with chefs who have, and it really is all in the cooking. And you can take a wild catch and, you know, make it very palatable.
Well, I think it also depends on the deer.
Right.
And sort of where it eats and what it eats, I think, probably. But, hey, thanks for that. We appreciate the call, Carrie. When I was a young man, my mother would send me vats of venison chili. It was hit or miss.
Yeah.
I mean, it depended on how hungry I was, how lean the times were. But, you know, it was okay. Let's go to Chuck in Hudson. Chuck, you're on.
How you doing?
Good.
When I was growing up, my mother had a black cast iron pan and cooked her liver and with flour, and made a gravy out of it with onions and bacon, and I didn't think I was going to eat it, but it was beautiful.
Well, you see. It's the advantage of trying things, as I'm learning today.
And that cast iron pan doesn't hurt.
But I don't know how to. I don't think that I can cook that myself because I don't like to grab a hold of that.
Of the liver?
Yeah. And artichokes are good, but I don't. What are anchovies?
It's a fish.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Fish eggs?
No, just the fish.
Just fish.
Yep.
Oh, you got to try them, Chuck. Real good.
I mean, typically the stuff you find in the tins has been dried and salted, and it's packed in oil. Fresh anchovies are a different creature.
Yeah, but the The liver was beautiful.
All right, man. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number here on Vox Pop Food Friday. And let's see who's been waiting the longest. Let's go over to Steve in Saratoga Springs. Steve.
How you doing?
Good.
So, you know, when you get, like, bug spray or hairspray in your mouth accidentally, that's what raw tomatoes taste like to me.
Well, that's interesting.
I don't know if it's a genetic thing. My grandfather was the same way. I love cooked tomatoes, all kinds. But if it's raw, I just can't do it.
And what does it taste like, bug spray?
Yeah, it tastes like bug spray. It tastes chemically to me.
Are you eating a lot of bug spray, Steve?
I'm trying not to.
Good,
I'm trying to wean myself off.
Yeah,
but,
you shouldn't do that.
No. Yeah, if it's in a salsa or something with an acidic preparation, bruschetta, it's fine too. But if it's raw, I just can't do it.
Okay, I'm going to go with genetic.
You know, I think that we're tapping into a whole line here. We've all talked about the cilantro genetics.
Right.
There must be other food aversions.
And yet this is the first I've ever heard of an aversion to fresh tomatoes.
Yeah, well,
I mean, poor, you know, Guy Clark celebrated in the song, fresh tomatoes.
Steve, you're clearly a mutant.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah, right you are, man. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
See ya. 800-348-2551. We go over to Donna in Schenectady. Donna, how are things in Schenectady?
Windy.
Yeah, it is getting windy. What's up with you?
Windy. When I was a kid, we had boiled potatoes, plain boiled potatoes, about 6 days out of the week. So that is one of my aversions.
That's all you had?
And corned beef, it was fine. No, we had a vegetable and meat, but we always had boiled potatoes because my father liked them.
Mm. With no butter, nothing on them?
Butter, yeah.
Okay. Oh, butter and salt, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, but it was still, you know, that's my aversion because we even greeted, you know, we had to eat it.
Yeah.
And then the lima beans, plain lima beans.
Yeah.
And
oh, I'm with you there. We had a lot of those.
Lima beans are becoming a big loser today.
Yeah. They're not that. And yet, Dina in the front office said, if he has lima beans, I want them. She loves them.
My son, peas.
Peas?
Peas.
I'm with you there. I'm with you on that. Not a big.
And so I always had to make a sauce or something for him to eat the peas.
Ketchup. That works. Well,
right.
Donna, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Byron Nielsen.
I'm trying to remember. There's a verse about peas. How is it? I eat my peas with honey.
Sure, yeah.
I've done it all my life. It makes the peas taste funny, but it keeps them on the knife.
And our legal department recommends you not use a knife to eat peas.
Oh, yes. I was going to
So this one came in. Oh, heavens. I don't know if I can read this. This is from Glenn. It came in via email. I just had the opportunity to have raw deer testicle. Took a little to get my head around, but the taste was good. Would make a great pate.
If it only takes a little to get his head around, it must be an unusually sized
Please. All right, let's just leave that alone. This one's from Carmen and Lutefisk?
Lutefisk.
What is that? He just says, or she says, any comments?
Well, I am of Scandinavian origin.
Yeah.
So I have encountered it.
What is it?
It's not something I can
really
easily describe. No.
Well, what's it made out of?
Fish.
It is fish.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And isn't something that you wouldn't want to describe?
It's something I think that it's one of those things I'm going to have to tackle head on and learn how to prepare it.
Okay. Do me a favor. Don't bring it until you've perfected it.
Exactly.
All
but,
right.
You know, something my grandmother would make.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phones then. And Ralph in Worthington. Ralph.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You guys are making me hungry. Hey, I have a theory. I feel like food is like music. Okay.
All right.
There's no such thing as bad music. There's music that you're not accustomed to, that you haven't been raised with, or that's been badly done. If you look at pop music, I'm not a big fan of pop music, but Nick Lowe knocks me out.
Oh, Nick Lowe's great. But have you heard the Osmonds?
Sure.
Okay.
And Justin Bieber makes me gag. It's not about whether it's good. It's how it's done.
Okay.
And food is the same way. You know, I consider liver to be the opera of the food world.
Now, that's good. That's very. Keep going. You're on a roll.
Well,
does that mean you're
it
singing its praises?
And my poor dear deceased mother, her idea of cooking vegetables was to use the British method, which is to say open up a can of whatever, dump it in a pot and boil it until it either turns gray or the water is gone.
Hmm.
And that's not something that's going to get you to love canned beans, you know, but you can have almost anything done really well, like anchovies. You slop 4-inch anchovies onto a pizza and people feel like they're gagging down a salt lick.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the way you do it. Try some anchovy paste. Put it in the sauce. Make it subtle. Spread it around. Brussels sprouts are the same thing. If you have Brussels sprouts that have been roasted, slow roasted in the oven with garlic and tamari, oh, my God, it's just beautiful. And liver gets overcooked. It turns into a dry piece of chalky leather. And who likes chalky leather?
I don't know.
You know, so go to
Justin Bieber? I'm not sure.
Brats. But go to a place like New World Home Cooking where somebody's going to make you these traditional foods, and they're going to do it right. And I'm sure, and I forget the gentleman's name because I've never been there. I'm way out in Massachusetts.
It's Rick Orlando.
He's going to serve you. And he's going to serve you some liver and onions that you're going to cry for.
All right, man. Well, that was a very artistic call. And, Ralph, have a wonderful weekend. We appreciate that. So food is like music.
So what opera would Brussels sprouts be?
Nixon Goes to China?
Votsek?
Oh, very good. All right. 800-348-2551. Byron Nielsen is our guest. It's a strange program we're having here. Let's go to Rachel in Beacon. Rachel.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. The person who just called kind of talked about the things I was going to say, but I lived in Germany in Bremen for a year, and I loved sardines, and they had this thing, and I had very little money, so when my family would go out to dinner, we'd go to a pizza place, and two times I fell into the trap of ordering sardine pizza, which was exactly what this caller said. It was a whole bunch of anchovies that were super salty, but I was pizza, and it just killed me. I couldn't eat it. I tried, and then I did it a second time. I just wanted to cry. It was so awful.
It's my God, Davis beer.
Loved it, you know?
This was in Germany?
Yeah, it was northern Germany, you know, where they're, you know, they like the salty, fishy, briny stuff, and I just, that was a wake-up call. But there, I also learned to really love Brussels sprouts because there were almost no vegetables in the markets in winter, and we had to have these community meals in our house. So we had to come up with something. So we got these wonderful Hokkaido squashes, those big orange squashes,
yeah.
And we did tomatoes, and we put in Brussels sprouts to get some green in there. And I ended up loving Brussels sprouts. Put into those, and then I like, you know, lima beans, anything in these tomato-based, Mediterranean thing, and then Carmel Road in New Paltz has the most amazing Brussels sprouts that are slow-cooked, roasted with olive oil and garlic, and they're like popping candy in your mouth.
Okay, well, so now you're getting me ready now to try Brussels sprouts, which I have not done probably since the Reagan administration, so we'll give it a shot. Rachel, thanks for the call.
Well, great show. Yeah, take care.
All right. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Byron Nielsen is here. He's ready to dole out the Brussels sprouts. I'm ready to head for the exits. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant. Sourcing from local farms and food makers since 1990, John Andrews Farmhouse features Jove D, an Italian prefix menu in the Berkshires every Thursday night, Egremont, Massachusetts, johnandrewsrestaurant.com. And Kern Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and Mendota Heights, Minnesota. Serving life insurance carriers and their distribution partners, offering DOL fiduciary rule compliance training. KernCompliance.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. Byron Nielsen is our guest, and you're putting Brussels sprouts. That's more than enough. He's putting Brussels sprouts on the plate. Thank you. Yes, I think.
You're going to do this now?
George H.W. Bush was vice president the last time I had these. Let's see. Oh, boy. Really? No, and you just eat the whole thing?
It's bespeckled with bacon.
All right. Well, you see, can I just eat the bacon?
It's going to still have the, it's been corrupted by Brussels sprouts.
Talk about why people hate food while I'm chewing.
Yeah, okay. And that's a good question that I got to pondering is how do we learn to hate food? I mean, I know in childhood we have tastes developing and changing. So I suspect that if your parents hate particular foods, there's a legacy already at play. But one of my pet peeves is restaurant kids' menus because so often you have a nice fine dining place with a kid's menu that consists of chicken nuggets and hot dogs. So you're essentially training kids to be fast food customers rather than, finding some way of introducing them to the menu. Of course, you do have the problem that the kids probably have these prejudices already in place.
Yeah.
And I have to say the most hate mail I ever got for a restaurant review many years ago was when I suggested that perhaps you oughtn't to bring your overactive darlings into a white linen place with you.
I'm with you. As the father of five, I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, well, the Brussels sprouts. My review?
Yeah.
The bacon is excellent.
Okay.
The bacon is excellent. You chew a Brussels sprout, and all I can think of is Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the pods.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think of that as a more okra-esque kind of
thing. Well, you make a point. I'm glad you didn't bring okra, or Oprah, for that matter. All right, back to the phones we go, 800-348-2551. Let's go to Bess in Gilderland. Bess.
Hi, Ray and Bernie. Story from my childhood, mother, father, Polish grandmother, 100% Polish family, and five kids.
Yeah.
Grandma used to have a duck delivered to the back door and down to the basement in the morning, and then by mid-afternoon it would come up in various parts and forms. And the next couple of days, we had the likes of the Polish dishes called with chicken feet, too. Chicken would go down and come up, too. Jim the Nuggy, which was like the chicken feet cooked forever with the bones and the gelatin with vinegar and celery, and would come up like a sweet and sour jello. Ugh. And then the duck's blood would come up as duck's blood soup or something in the Polish cuisine called chiszka, which is blood sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Christmas Eve, we would all have to eat. Talk about having children develop an aversion to a food. We would be almost forced to eat in a seasonal, friendly way. A thing called fruit soup, which was stewed dried fruits done with lemon and honey and that kind of a broth, and then with noodles, served up on noodles. And it was kind of mushy and strong, but sweet and strong. And so that's my story.
So wait a minute.
Lots of great memories. And, of course, now we're all adults, and we kind of say, who's going to make the fruit soup this Christmas season?
So
we don't make the blood sausage or the Jim the Nuggy gelatin or anything, but, boy, I guess a lot of strange made-from-scratch Polish foods that my grandmother left in her legacy.
Did you like it? Did you like the stuff?
As I said, we kind of had to eat it because there was a religious custom and all that stuff.
So you were thinking in terms of
like it, because that's the kind of family we had.
Yeah.
But as we became teenagers, we would confess that, oh, I never liked that, and, oh, my God, how could you stand it? And how I used to get secretly or silently punished for not eating. And all these family stories, and you have the old big families all under one roof. We had a lot of bizarre foods that Grandma made for us, and we had to eat.
Well, you should write them down, Bess, because they will disappear sometime. Now, this soup, it was dried fruit and what?
Dry fruit just steeped in water with cinnamon and honey and lemon.
That sounds delicious.
And then you cook that, and it just became a broth with the stringy, soft, mushy stewed fruit in it. apples, pears, you know, the bag of dry fruit you would get in grocery stores and still get. And then you serve the broth, all that broth, over some noodles, cooked noodles. We would have any kind of noodles that Grandma put in. It could be the spaghetti noodles, the egg noodles or something. And then part of the Christmas Eve was with that soup, we would have the blessed bread, a piece of wafer like the conventional host, and we would all have our own piece of wafer that was broken off a big piece that Mom and Dad used to get from the convent, the nuns' convent, and we would each have a piece off the big piece, and we'd go around among each other in the family, taking a piece of each other's piece and wishing each other Merry Christmas and good health and everything in the next year. Then we put all those pieces of the blessed bread into the fruit soup. That's the reason why we had to eat it, because it had the blessed bread in it, the blessed host in it. So a lot of very rich traditions that I hold dear to me, and now we're all in different places as kids, and some of us are gone, so we don't gather around the table anymore and with those foods or those traditions. But they certainly do make a good story.
Well, Bess, I hope you have a merry Christmas season, and thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
My first encounter with one of those items took place at a dim sum restaurant in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I was writing for a computer magazine and met the editor, who said, let's go to Elizabeth Street. Her husband was a Chinese diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to this restaurant, still there, and there was a line down the block, but he went to the front of the line and got us, you know, right in there and at a table and said, I'll take care of ordering everything, because these old ladies were pushing carts from table to table and you select the dishes. And it seemed to me that each successive dish looked less like something I could identify.
Yeah.
Until finally came along something that I swore looked like chicken feet and was.
And how was it?
Well, it's uneventful, because you're really just sucking the sauce off of this tiny little limb.
It's crunchy, right?
Yeah.
It tastes like chicken.
Exactly.
Let's go to Adam in Albany. Adam, you're on with Byron Nielsen.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Couple of interesting things you can do with anchovies that don't really make them taste like anchovies. One of them, and one of your callers has touched on this, is just mash up like one anchovy and slide that into a beef stew. And it has this effect of intensifying the beef flavor in the stew. And I think that probably works on a lot of things.
You heard of that, Byron?
Well, I cook with anchovies all the time.
Yeah.
So, sure. And, of course, tapenade is another reformulation.
And that is delicious. Well, Adam, thank you for that. We appreciate it, my friend. Over to line 9 and Joe in Saugerties. Joe, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Listen, I have one for Brussels sprouts, for all the people who hate Brussels sprouts.
Okay. I'm listening.
Good, because I failed.
When I was a kid, I hated them too, but my mother disguised them. She was a genius at disguise. So what you do is you get Brussels sprouts. They can be frozen ones or fresh ones. And then you just boil them a little bit till they get a little bit started. You don't want to go too crazy. Then you take them out of that, throw them in a frying pan, season them up a little bit with some garlic and some onion and some salt and pepper. Okay, now then you get some sausage out of it. You take it out of the casing, you brown the sausage, nice and crunchy, a little bit crunchy, not too much.
Yeah.
And then put a little garlic in that, a little onion, a little blah, 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 you know, and delicious. A little oregano, a little whatever you like. But basically, that's it. And then you just get some either canned or fresh tomato sauce. So then you throw a little plum tomatoes in there as well. You crunch them up. Now, then you just let that all simmer together. And my God, you won't know you're eating Brussels sprouts.
Well, I think that's the key, right?
I think of sausage
as
being sort of...
Well, that's what I thought, yeah. And it's, I'm telling you, when you eat this, you have no idea you're eating Brussels sprouts, because it's just, the sausage is a little crunchy and nice and firm, and the Brussels sprout give you that little bit of that flavor, but the sauce and the spices, oh my God, it's delicious.
The sausage is like bacon.
It's like the bacon that you put in, Byron. Right. Thanks a lot, Joe. We appreciate it. By the way, while Joe was talking, had another bite of the Brussels sprout.
I saw you have another bite.
You know what? It's growing on me.
It's working.
I hate to admit it, but it's growing on me. Let's go to line 2 and Janet in Washington County. Janet, you're on.
Hi, you've covered a lot of information that I can add to, it seems.
Thanks.
In regard to lutefisk?
Yeah.
Prairie Home Companion. It's the joke of Garrison Keillor all the time going into Wisconsin. Of course, that's a Scandinavian area, and that was my original comment. I'm mostly Scandinavian in background, and olives just do not agree with me. My stomach won't tolerate them.
All olives?
So maybe there is something going with the genetic disposition.
Interesting.
But, you know, maybe we're all a product of what we originally were set out to be eating. But I don't know. I wanted to throw in some things, and that would be haggis and tripe and aspic.
Oh.
I don't know how we make any of those very palatable.
What's aspic? So, I know the other two.
It's a gelatinized dish. So it's
If you look at the early cookbooks, it was made with gelatin derived from cow's feet.
Well, it's still derived from that.
Interesting.
But, you know, in the early books, cookbooks, it tells you how to do those first processes. So I thought that the lady talking about the Polish cooking was very interesting, because that's kind of the stage we're missing. If we were familiar with those stages, you know, actually went out and shot the deer to get the venison, well, things become more natural, I think.
Yeah, you make a point.
All have to find what works for ourselves.
But do you eat haggis and tripe, Janet?
I've had tripe.
Yeah.
And to me, it was no flavor, just a very strange sort of texture, which is another thing a lot of us have to get around.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and any of these things. I love Brussels sprouts if they're little ones.
Yeah, well, you make a point.
And that's the good point. Liver, you cook it to death, it is a piece of leather.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think these are...
It's all in the preparation, right?
And I thank you for bringing up haggis and tripe, but I'm just thanking the good Lord above that Byron Nielsen didn't bring either one of those things.
A nice tripe.
Thanks,
a la mode de cayenne would be terrific.
All right, thank you.
It's cooked enough to tenderize it.
Well, it's quite enough. Thank you.
Next week.
Let's go to Paul in Canaan. Paul, you're on.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to let you know that actually you're not unusual for not liking Brussels sprouts, because it is specifically genetic. There's a chemical called PTC, or phenylthiocarbamide, which is located on TAS2R38 gene.
I knew
that causes extreme bitterness.
Huh.
And we've known that. We knew the gene since 2003. And back in the 1930s and 40s, they knew that there was a genetic context to it. And they used it as paternity tests. If someone had that particular, they didn't like, let's say, Brussels sprouts.
Right.
Then it would, and the child didn't like it. They knew that the father must have been related to the
Or
child.
The mother was consistent.
It's a very vague sort of test, but I get your point. Well, Paul, that's very interesting. Are you a geneticist or a chemist of any kind?
Biomedical anthropologist.
So cool, man. Well, thank you for that call. We appreciate it. Let's go over. You see, we have smart listeners.
And let me ask you, where are you on Broccoli Rob?
Oh, he left, but I'm sure he was. Where am I?
Yeah.
That was a big one at my household. Yeah. I'm not enormously fond of broccoli. My children, however, love broccoli.
Oh, I'm talking about Broccoli Rob.
Which
rapini. It's a sort of a leafy vegetable, a tough stalk.
Oh no, I have had that. Yeah,
bitter.
My mother used to make that. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
So you don't have that bitter anti-bitter thing happening.
No, not in general. I'm pretty bitter, but yeah. Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on.
I just think I got my question answered about the genetic thing. You seem to infer in the beginning of the show that there is a genetic problem, especially with cilantro.
I believe there is.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's well documented,
yeah.
Indeed. And so you taste soapy to you?
That would make some redemption with my mother-in-law, because she likes to put cilantro on our food, and I always...
It could just be your mother-in-law. Yeah. Well, Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good weekend. Over quickly to Fred in Hurley. Fred, you're on.
How you doing, Ray?
Good.
My mother never could cook liver or venison correctly, and it was always not palatable. And so, in the meantime, my question is about liver in general.
Yeah.
I learned how to cook chicken liver. With, you know, Marsala wine and onions, and I would serve it with a nice thick mash and peas or whatever, or yams, and I love it. And I'm wondering how often you should eat that.
Ah, well, Byron, I don't know if you're a nutritionist, although you do everything else, so give it a whirl.
Well, my problem would be when I make a chicken liver preparation, the butter seems to creep into it in an excessive quantity. So that would be my determining factor.
I don't cook it with butter.
Huh.
But the marsala is a great complement to that. So you're just sautéing the chicken livers. You're not chopping them.
No, and it's absolutely delicious for me. But is it like cholesterol wise, that kind of thing? Is it, you know,
those numbers?
Be toxic?
I don't know. Okay. And I'm comfortable in my ignorance.
Well, we'd have to do some research on that. Yeah. Hey, Fred.
I love Brussels sprouts. I love.
I'm coming to dinner at your house.
Anyhow.
Hey, man, we're out of time. But hey, Fred, thanks for being the last one today.
Thank you, Ray.
So the Alt kicks off on Tuesday. Where will we find that, Byron Nielsen?
I expect on newsstands and online at thealt.com.
All right. And your next cooking class is when and where?
That's November 28th, Ravioli.
And that is at Different Drummers. And people can find out more by going where?
DifferentDrummersKitchen.com.
Well, I got to say this was fun. We didn't have the olives, but I like olives.
Yeah.
So I'll eat some after the show.
Excellent.
Well done, my friend. Support comes from Field Goods, working with farmers to deliver weekly produce year-round to workplaces and community locations such as local libraries. Field Goods supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals. Information at gloriosaco.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts, handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends for holiday gifts, weddings, and corporate events. RollingRockSalt.com for events and details. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorns Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy at No Moo Dairy Free. Handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harrells.com. Thanks again to Byron Nielsen for being with us today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. And your phones were answered today by Barb King, our producer, who thought of all this. Well, Byron's daughter also thought of it. Jim Lavoulis is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Stand by now for news.